Good morning. I'm Kathleen Mills, and I'm going to be reading our scripture this morning. You can find it printed on the inside of your bulletin. And we're going to be reading from 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 through 10, and then verses 17 through 19. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let's pray together. Holy God, we bow before you. Lord, you are rich in every way. And you have called us into your life and the richness of your life, and we give thanks to you. And we pray now that you will take the word that has been read and the word that will be preached, and Lord, that you will speak deeply into our hearts and minds, Lord, that we might walk more fully and deeply with you and the life that you offer. And we thank you and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Next Sunday is Faith Giving Commitment Sunday. And so we are thinking about some perspectives on giving this morning that we hope will be a preparation for all of us in this area of giving. We live out our lives. At every stage of our lives, every stage, there is a question being addressed to us. Now, we're not aware that that question is being addressed to us, but I suggest that it is being addressed to us. And that question is, will money handle us, or will we, in the power of God, handle money? The truth that is a difficult truth to face in our materialistic Western culture is that money represents a danger to a healthy Christian life, and that we often underestimate that danger. Now, Billy Graham, in his Leadership Secrets, shares this story I want to share with you. In 1999, for the first time in 47 years, local fishermen discovered that tuna were running only 30 miles off the coast of Boston, near Cape Cod, Massachusetts. And they were not only running, but they were biting. And you didn't have to be a professional to catch them. All you needed was a sharp hook and some bait. And to add to that, it appeared to be that the rewards were substantial for catching a tuna. And so the rumor was going around that the Japanese were offering $50,000 for a large bluefin tuna. So, as a result, many ignored the Coast Guard warnings. They headed out into the sea in small, unequipped boats. And what these new fishermen didn't realize was that the problem was not in catching a tuna. The problem was getting it in the boat. On September 23rd, the Christie Ann, a 19-foot boat, capsized while doing battle with a tuna. That same day, the 27-foot boat Basic Instinct suffered from the same fate, while Official Business, 28-footer, was swamped after it hooked onto a 600-pound tuna. The tuna simply pulled it underwater. Now, these fishermen underestimated the power of the fish they were trying to catch. I think about that, and I believe that we underestimate the power of money to hook us and to take our Christian lives to some degree underwater. Well, in our scripture, the Apostle Paul is sharing perspectives that I believe can keep us from being hooked and carried underwater by the love of money. And so I want to share with you some of these perspectives, and I want to put these perspectives in the form of a question. So, first question, what is gain for you? What is gain for you? What is the gain? If you begin to think about this, what is the gain you will discover is capturing your heart most? Maybe for someone it's having five new outfits. If they just have five new outfits that are exactly what they want, then life will be good. Maybe for someone else they're involved in somewhat of a struggle related to an inheritance. And they're having trouble with their siblings, and they're just being pulled and turned in all kinds of ways by that struggle. Many of us have investment portfolios in 401k accounts, and we're watching the stock market rocket up, and it's causing us to look more often on a computer to see what's going on with our accounts, or wait patiently for our monthly statements to come in the mail, and we're happy with what we're seeing. And I am struck by how easy it is to be obsessed with gains being experienced right now. How easily we become obsessed with financial gains or losses. Life becomes too much about financial gain, and we find ourselves in danger of the love of money taking us underwater. What is the gain? What is the gain that we should be obsessing about? Well, listen to what Paul says. He says, godliness with contentment is great gain. And I ask this question, is that great gain to you and to me? Paul says, in effect, replace counting money with measuring character. We are to focus on who we are becoming rather than what we have or do not have. And there are two parts to this formula for gain. There's godliness, and to godliness there is to be added contentment. Godliness with contentment is great gain. And that word contentment is a tricky word. For some people, it's not a positive word because it implies passivity and lack of drive and ambition. However, for Paul, it implied, I suggest to you, something entirely different. The word that Paul uses here in our passage is the same word that the Stoics used for contentment. And when the Stoics used that particular word and spoke about contentment, they meant self-sufficiency. And Paul meant just the opposite. We know that because we read the fourth chapter of his letter to the Philippian church, and we hear him speak about contentment, and then he brings that speaking about contentment to a climax as he says that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And we discover that right at the heart of contentment for Paul is Christ's sufficiency. Not self-sufficiency, but Christ's sufficiency. Finding what we need in Christ. Finding what we need in Christ in every situation. Our sufficiency doesn't come from what we have, but who we have. Or maybe we should correct that and say, who has us? Now, to help Timothy and all who read this letter focus on the right kind of gain, Paul says, he continues, for we brought nothing into the world and we can take nothing out of it. You know what? Some people still don't believe that. Now, there was a man who worked hard all his life and he saved as much as he could. He loved money more than anything. Just before he died, he said to his wife, when I die, I want you to take all my money and put it in the casket with me. I want to take my money to the afterlife with me. His wife promised she would do it. At the funeral, just before the undertakers closed the casket, his wife came forward and she put a box in the casket with him. The undertaker shut the casket, rolled it away. And the wife's friend said, I know you weren't foolish enough to put all that money in there with that man. And the wife said, I can't lie. I promised him I would put that money in the casket with him. The friend said, you mean to tell me that you put that money in the casket with him? I sure did, said the wife. I wrote him a check. We brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. Now, that statement, I believe many times, Lee, even though we know that's true, we don't have to be argued into that statement as a truth. The counter that comes back from that, but I can sure enjoy it right now. And when we do that, we're really missing the point of what Paul is saying here. Because what Paul is saying, look, if you're going to leave this world without any accumulation of material things and finances, if that is temporary stuff, doesn't it make more sense to focus on what is going to be long-lasting gain? Godliness. Doesn't it make more sense to be eager as you think about gain, to be focused on the person that God is making you, on the person you are becoming? Doesn't it make more sense to be focused on finding your sufficiency in Christ, experiencing and living out Christ's sufficiency? Because that's real, where the real long-term gain is. And so I ask again, what is gain for you? What is gain for you? Now, second question. In what or who do you trust? In what or who do you trust? Paul says, command those who are rich in the present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain. Now, there is an attitude, he says, that often comes with having money and material things that can put the boat of our lives underwater. And that attitude is arrogance. The word here translated arrogant, or some of your translations say haughty, means to think or cherish exalted thoughts of yourself. The danger is that we will think we are better than others because of what we have. Wealth easily deludes us into thinking that moral superiority is about cars and clothes and homes and designer labels. And so instead of measuring ourselves by godliness, we slip into trusting the material things as the measure of ourselves. And this delusion continues many times also in this way. We overestimate the wisdom of the wealthy. And maybe worst of all, it leads to distancing ourselves from those who are struggling financially. Is that homeless man we bump into downtown as valuable as we are? And what do we trust to give us value? Instead of putting our hope, that is our trust, our confidence in wealth that is so uncertain, our scripture says, command those who have to put their hope in God. And I love what follows, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Paul was no ascetic. Paul is not saying trade materialism in for asceticism. Yes, he is calling us along with Jesus to a simpler lifestyle. Yes, the scripture is always calling us away from self-indulgence. Yes, we are called into sacrifice for the sake of others. But one of the things I love about what Paul says here is that we have permission to enjoy what God has given us. I love that. Having said that, though, the heart here is of what he's saying is to recognize that God is the one who richly provides. What we have is a gift of God, an expression of God's generosity toward us. And what or who do you trust? Answering that question often takes some very concrete choices that express that trust. Now, let me illustrate. Richard Stearns is a one-time CEO of Lennox Corporation, makers of fine china, and current head of the mission organization World Vision. And this is what he shares. In 1987, the largest single-day stock market crash since 1929 took place. In one day, my wife Renee and I lost more than one-third of our life savings and the money we had put aside for our kids' college education. I was horrified and became like a man obsessed, each night working past midnight, analyzing on spreadsheets all that we had lost, and the next day calling in orders to sell our remaining stocks and mutual funds to prevent further losses. Of course, that turned out to be the absolute worst thing I could have done. I was consumed with anguish over lost money, and it showed. One night, when I was burning the midnight oil, Renee came and sat beside me. "Honey," she said, "this thing is consuming you in an unhealthy way. It's only money. We have our marriage, our health, our friends, our children, and a good income. So much to be thankful for. You need to let go of this and trust God." Now, he says, "Don't you hate it when someone crashes your pity party?" I didn't want to let go of it. I told her I felt responsible for our family and that she didn't understand. It was my job to worry about things like this. I can identify with that. Can you, men? She suggested we pray about it, something that hadn't occurred to me, so we did. At the end of the prayer, to my bewilderment, Renee said, "Now I think we need to get out the checkbook and write some big checks to our church and ministries we support. We need to show God that we know this is His money and not ours." I was flabbergasted at the audacity of that suggestion, but in my heart I knew she was right. So that night we wrote some sizable checks, put them in envelopes addressed to various ministries, and sealed them. And that's when I felt the wave of relief. We had broken the spell that money had cast over me. It freed me from the worries that had consumed me. I actually felt reckless and giddy. "God, please catch us because we just took a crazy leap of faith." Now, your circumstances might be so utterly different than his and Renee's, but being able to answer the question, here's where the commonality is. Being able to answer the question, "In what do I trust?" will often require concrete actions that express that trust. It may be that God uses the faith-giving commitment to break the power of money in our lives at some times, just like He did for Richard Stearns. In who and what are you trusting? Do you know the answer to that question? Now, third perspective question. How will you and I give? How will you and I give? At any time, at all times, not just next week. How will you and I give? Having exhorted against misplaced hope and where to put one's trust, Paul says, "Command them to do good and to be rich in good deeds and to be generous and willing to share." Now, we've already been exhorted to see godliness with contentment as the gain we should seek. And now we see that godliness indeed includes generosity. When you think about godliness, do you think about generosity? Some of you, I know you do. Do you think about generosity when you think about godliness? And it's a generosity that is tied to a generous God who provides. The God who, though He was rich, as the Scripture says, became poor. That is, He became a man, the incarnation and the cross. He became poor for our sakes, that we might become rich. We have a generous God. And generosity is always tied to seeing that. Now, although this letter is addressed to Timothy, it will probably be read publicly in the house churches in Ephesus, where there apparently were many wealthy Christians. And interestingly, to me, Paul doesn't tell the rich at Ephesus to sell everything as Jesus did with the rich young ruler. Let me say this. Having said that, there is always a heart divestiture of wealth that we are called to take, whether we have a little or a lot. We are called to say in our hearts to God, "It's all yours, Lord, and I give it all to you, and you are the rightful owner, and I am the manager of what belongs to you." And we find in the Christian life, we have to keep doing that and doing it again and again and again, because we keep taking back ownership and we keep forgetting who everything belongs to. But then, having made this heart divestiture required of every Christian, there is this same call to every Christian, whether you have much or you have little, there is this call to generosity. It is part of godliness. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. Having is a danger that can sink the boat of a vibrant Christian life. At the same time, having is a wonderful opportunity to bring blessing to the mission of God and blessing to the lives of others. And I love the fact that we are given incentives here for generous giving. Paul tells us right here the same thing that Jesus says: lay up treasures in heaven. What an amazing thing it is. It's difficult for us to understand that. We might be tempted at first to read this as some kind of works thing. Oh, okay, instead of buying shares in Apple, I'm going to buy shares in heaven. No. No, here's the point. We have a God of grace. And this God of grace calls us to serve and to give, and He moves in our serving and giving by His grace. And then here's the amazing thing. He rewards us by His grace for the very things that He has moved us to do and to give. And Paul says, there's a phrase here that catches my attention. I want it to catch yours. Take hold of life that is truly life. And so in this generous giving, in a life of generous giving, we take hold of this kingdom of the future. But we also take hold of life more fully right now. You as a Christian have life. Jesus Christ lives inside of you, the Christian. You have His life dwelling in you. And one of the things for us, in so many different ways, that is part of living out the Christian life, is to take more fully a hold of the life that we've already been given. And in this generous giving, when it's under the Lordship of Jesus, not only does it keep the boats of our lives from being sunk by the big tuna of prosperity, but it enables us to take hold of life that is truly life. Jesus said it was more blessed. It is more blessed to give than to receive. And when God's generosity captures our hearts and minds, as we bless others, we find we are taking hold more fully of the life that is really life. Let's pray together. Lord, we confess that we are so prone to make the gain that matters for us everything except godliness. And so, Lord, would you work in our lives to enable us to begin to really be captured in our hearts by the gain of godliness with contentment, with Christ's sufficiency. And Lord, maybe there are steps of trust, choices of trust that you would lead us to take that are important to our answering that question, in whom do we trust? In what do we trust? Lord, may we hear and follow you. And Lord, we thank you as we think about the fact that you are a generous God. We thank you for your generosity to us. We thank you once again that though you were rich, for our sake, you became poor, that we might know your riches. And Lord, we do pray that you would continue to form and shape your generosity more fully in us. And we'll trust you for that and thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.